This program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
What is energy healing? People who have found holistic healing techniques have added to the balance in their lives. Now, you can find balance in your life, too. Welcome to Healing Possibilities with Tracy Makarenko. Holistic healing is an integral part of life energy. Each program explores in detail a different part of the healing process with supplemental guidance from your host and other guests. Now, here is Tracy Makarenko.
Good morning, this is Tracy Makarenko. Last week, we discussed the characteristics of the heart chakra, which is the fourth chakra, the middle chakra of the seven major chakras. It is located in the center of the chest. Today with me, I have my favorite yoga instructor, Hallie McQuillan. Hallie, good morning.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. So, I know a bit about you, but I don't know a lot about you. How did you get into this whole yoga gig?
I got into yoga back when I was 18 at the recommendation of my mom. So I'm 34 now, so I've been practicing for quite a while.
Wow. So was your mom was into yoga, I guess, or?
Yeah, she was into yoga, and I graduated high school and was pretty much lost as to what to do next, and she suggested that I try yoga, and back then she passed me a Kathy Smith yoga DVD. yeah, which was pretty cool. It was, I still think of that. Like, that was my very first introduction to yoga, was with Kathy Smith, and which is cool because she's an old school fitness instructor, so. Yeah, that was my first intro, and what I found on my yoga mat was something I had never experienced before, which was a really, I guess I could call it a great presence of myself. I wasn't thinking, I wasn't worrying, I was simply being on my mat, and from there, my practice became more consistent, yet still quite sporadic. And as I got older and got into my 20s, I would use my mat as a go-to place when things got challenging or I felt lost. Mm-hmm. My mat would be my go-to place. And then I realized what was actually happening. Like, I was getting these presence, getting insights, and experiencing, like, joy that I've never experienced before on my yoga mat. So in my mid-20s, it became more of a consistent practice.
So at that point, were you still doing it out of your home, or were you, was there even very many studios open at that time?
No, I'm from Calgary, and the first studio I went to was one of the first. Actually, I started doing yoga at a community center in Kingsland, and then a hot yoga studio opened up, Calgary Hot Yoga. I started going there, and that's where it all began.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that hot yoga had been around for so long. I thought it was something more new.
Yeah, it's been around now probably for about 15 years in Calgary.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So when did you decide to finally take your teaching instruction?
Well, I started, this is kind of funny, I started teaching at a bodybuilder's gym.
Oh, really?
In a wrestling ring. In 2004, 2005. And then I was basically sharing my personal yoga practice with the bodybuilders in the gym who desperately needed to stretch out. And in 2006, I took my actual first teacher training course.
And what kind of yoga was that?
It was Vinyasa Flow Yoga that I took my first teacher training in.
Oh, okay. So you've supplemented quite a bit since then?
Yes. I continue to take different styles of yoga. I find there's benefit in blending all the different styles together, and have since recently created a new style of yoga called Real Evolution Yoga, and that combines a more holistic approach of yoga using pranayama, breath control, heating up your body, as well as doing restorative postures and meditation all in one yoga sequence. So from my path of starting with Vinyasa Flow, experiencing restorative and hatha yogas, I found a cool way to blend it all together.
That sounds really interesting. So you were my yoga instructor, and I was in the best shape ever when you were still here teaching. But recently, well, what was it, 3 years ago now, that you and your husband and daughter decided to up and leave us all in our community and go to Costa Rica and open up a retreat center.
Yes. It was in 2010, October 3rd. We had sold our three businesses, a house, and listed our home we were living in, and sold most of our stuff, packed the rest of it, clothes, some pots and pans, and a few of Billy's toys, and one Buddha, and we moved to Costa Rica to open what's called now Peace Retreat.
And that can be found online at what email or at what web address?
www.peaceretreat.ca.
Okay, so anybody who wants to take a look can find more information about that there?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. So when you were teaching me, and I was in my best shape ever, by the way, but yoga is more than just about the muscle tone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the physical practice of yoga is actually 1/8 of all of the aspects of yoga. So going back into yoga history and philosophy, there's what's called the 8 limbs of yoga. And as I mentioned, the physical postures, which are known as the asanas, are only one portion of that. So the very first limb of yoga is called, I think it's the most important, and I base all my teachings around it. It is called Yama, Y-A-M-A, and basically it governs the interactions with others and ourselves. So the objective of this limb of yoga is to create compassion, generosity, honesty, and peace through 5 directives. And those 5 directives are nonviolence, truthfulness, non-stealing, and celibacy, meaning not to get lost or taken off our path by appeasing our sensual senses or sensual pleasures, and then non-envy. So through those 5 directives, you can probably see the importance of them.
So are those 5 directives connected to each of the limbs?
Yama, the one that I just described, is the very first limb of yoga, and that's what it governs. It governs the nonviolence, the truthfulness, the non-stealing, celibacy, and the non-envy, and that's the first directive. So this one solely deals with these directives.
Okay.
And then the second one, I'll briefly describe that to you. It'll make more sense. The second one is called Niyama, and that's basically the code to live meaningfully. And the objective of Niyama is to create self-discipline and inner strength to progress onto the remaining limbs of yoga. And Niyama also has 5 directives. And those are cleanliness, which refers to more inner cleanliness rather than outer. So inner cleanliness meaning, we could sum it up by saying positive thinking. So you're getting clearing out your inner clutter of judgment, of envy, that kind of thing. And then it goes on to contentment, which is to accept the truth as it really is. Knowing yourself, which is through self-inquiry and exploration. And unaffectedness, meaning to not be affected by any outer elements, any outer situations. And the last one is spirit. So accepting the guidance of the divine, of your God, whoever you solely believe in, even though it might go against what you really wish for in your life. So that's a lot of information, and this workshop on just these two alone could be taught in like months of courses. But that sums it up. So you have your physical asanas as 1/8, and then your yamas as another 1/8, and then your niyamas as another 1/8. So there you have 3 out of the 8 limbs of yoga. So there are 5 more, and basically, each one is a deepening of the previous one. So after the niyama comes the asana part, which I find very interesting because these days in yoga, most of our attention is on the asana only. And I see the importance and the urgency to really hone in and include the yamas and the niyamas, if not before, but with the physical asana.
Okay, thanks.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Feeling depressed? Full of anxiety? Are you suffering from muscle aches, back pain, migraines? Do you have chronic stomach irritation, incontinence? What ailment is occupying your mind's time? At the very least, Reiki will take the edge off of your anxiety. Craniosacral will realign your bones and tissues. Visceral will balance your organs. Holistic healthcare will bring back parts of you that have been lost. Need more of a fix? Attend a holistic workshop or receive an angel card reading. It's all about you getting back to a place where you feel whole, refreshed, and energized. Visit HealingPossibilities.com today or call Tracy at 403-831-3864. It's your life. Don't you deserve the peace, tranquility, and freedom you're entitled to? Go to HealingPossibilities.com and find out more. Side effects include self-awareness.
Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within. And you can tune into The Open Door. Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door, with hosts Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy, is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Healing Possibilities. To connect with Tracy Makarenko or this week's guests, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll-free in North America, 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to Tracy at HealingPossibilities.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello?
Hi, Tracy.
Oh, good. I thought I lost you again there. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a morning. So you're talking about the two first limbs of yoga, yama and...
Niyama.
Niyama, I wrote it down. What is the third limb?
The third limb is asana, so the physical practice of yoga, the postures, the one that we're most familiar with.
Yeah, that's the part that typically people go in and figure that's what yoga is all about, is just the asanas.
Yes, And there are some specific asanas that you can use to open up your heart chakra. And those asanas are to do with the back bending asanas and chest opening asanas. So for you yogis out there, what you can practice when you want to open your heart chakra are the bridge pose, wheel, and camel for your back bends.
Oh, all the ones I hate.
Yeah, there you go. You got pretty good at the end. And the chest openers are fish pose and reverse tabletop.
Yeah, I'm not really fond of those ones either. I've been working a lot on my opening my heart chakra. I had a severe trauma happen to my upper back. And so for years, it was just so difficult to open. And I think it was because a lot of that trauma would come to an unconscious place in my body. Mm-hmm. And so I would resist wanting to go into that space to open up my body and find out what was trapped there.
Yes, that's usually the case. And you know, you've heard me say this a lot, the poses that you don't want to do or the ones you dislike the most are the ones that you need.
Yes, and that's why I always do them, although the first thing that pops into my head when someone says, okay, let's do bridge, is, oh, I hate bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
And I try to change it to, oh, I love bridge. I love bridge.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if you relate, so you're in your physical asana practice, for you, Tracy, it would be, so bridge pose comes up and you have a dislike for it. And if you go back to the yamas, so experiencing like a truthfulness, so being open, like, yeah, I really dislike this pose, and then taking it into niyama, so the cleanliness and, you know, the inner cleanliness of positive thinking, like, okay, mate, I dislike it, but, you know, it's good for me, I need it, and contentment with accepting it as it really is. So maybe, you know, your bridge doesn't look like the person next to you where they're busting out like this crazy full wheel and you're in bridge pose, really accepting that and tapping in to your spirit of you're exactly where you need to be at that moment.
Well, yeah, but that ego gets into play for me. You know, you wanna do and look your best, and I suppose that's why there's so much more to yoga, because we need to get past that and get to a place of acceptance.
Right. And if you look at the meaning of the word yoga, like Y-O-G-A is a Sanskrit word, and it actually means to yoke or to unite. And what I always say is yoga is to unite your mind, body, spirit, and heart. So when you're focusing on uniting your own mind, your own body, your own spirit, and your own heart, there's no room for, you know, worrying about how you look or, you know, when I teach, I always make a joke right around backbending. That's usually when people start to fix their hair or they take a water break. So right when I say, okay, everyone, we're going to go into backbending, your hair looks great. You know, have a water break after backbending. It's really common for people to take themselves out, but much more powerful and much more empowering to stick with it and to persevere through those thoughts that'll take you out.
Well, what I like about yoga is you become more aware of when you're taking yourself out. When you're in a day-to-day life situation and you're avoiding something, it's much more difficult to recognize than when you're in a yoga practice and you're supposed to be doing the next thing.
Absolutely. And my biggest insight was that, or is that, my yoga mat is a direct reflection of my life. So taking yoga, you know, off of my yoga mat and into my life was a huge insight for me. And like I stated, when I started yoga, I found myself struggling. Like I was in a personal struggle of what to do. I had no direction, was totally ungrounded. When I first started, stepped on my mat, that's what I found on my mat. I'm like, oh, I didn't have any balance. I was struggling. I was thinking. And then something happened, like the switch went on, like, wow, I can feel my body. I can actually feel my physical body. What's happening, you know, in my thigh? What's happening in my back? And when I found that ease on my mat or that curiosity on my mat, I found that I was finding ease and curiosity in my life, or not finding, more creating that in my life. So it's really amazing to think of your yoga mat as not, you know, simply a place to go and, you know, bust out some wheels or bridges, but a place to actually reflect on what's happening in your life.
Yeah, and as you do that, I found in my own practice and with my healing work that I become more sensitive to even the smallest things in my body that I didn't know existed before.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. A lot of times when people first start yoga, myself included, we don't have much body awareness, if any. And as we start to move in the physical asana and be curious and discover our bodies, we become more sensitive and we become more aware. And that's when, like, old injuries might pop up. We might notice, like you said, Tracy, you know, an old trauma or unconscious energetic block is created in our bodies that awareness creates some stimulus to actually feel what's happening. And it's very interesting because mostly students, new students will say, you know, well, yoga's hurting me. You know, this awareness, I don't like this awareness. But really that's what we need because the opposite is numbing out. And as you know, when we numb out and push things down, that's when physical, like, dis-ease starts. So yeah, really, really important to be with the experience that you're having on your yoga mat. Be with it, feel it. And my favorite quote is, "You have to feel to heal."
So, what I noticed, Tally, is as we go through these things and we notice something different in our body, we can go from being, you know, in perfect balance one day to the next day not being able to stand on even one of our feet.
Yes, exactly. That's the fun part.
I remember in the beginning it actually got me quite upset because I'm like, but I did so well. How is this possible?
Yeah, and that happens to me still, being, you know, somewhat of an experienced practitioner. Some days I can't do a simple tree pose. And I used to say, I can't do it this day, I can't, you know, and I would compare to my previous practices. But now, in my own practice and how I teach, is each moment is a new moment, and consider that you haven't ever done this pose before. Because in reality, you've never done this pose in this moment ever before.
Well, and I always think I've never done this pose before in this body, because my body seems to be changing minute by minute.
Yeah, excellent point. Exactly. Yeah. And if you take that to, you know, what happens in our lives, you know, 1 minute we're happy, filled with joy, and then, you know, something happens and then we feel sad or a thought pops up, and it's like forever changing and evolving. I consider it an evolution within our bodies, within our lives, and every single moment or every single asana is a chance to experience something new within us. So, you know, one day if you're off balance, it's like, wow, I'm experiencing off balance. Like, what's happening on my mat? What's happening in my body? What's happening in my life? And then you see the global picture or the macro vision of everything tying in together.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, because I have so much body awareness and I'm in, you know, I do the healing thing, helping people all the time. For me, it's also, you know, when someone talks about having that sore shoulder or now this hurts or now that hurts, because typically week to week or month to month, I could go from having a sore elbow to a knee to having problems with my ankle. You know, something changes up all the time. And having that awareness that there's something else pulling my attention away in my body sometimes makes me wonder what's pulling my attention away in my life.
Amazing. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So we're going to go for a quick break now and return with Hallie. If you'd like to find out more information, you can also find her at www.hallieandkevin.com.
Great. Thank you, Tracy.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Did you know we're all related? Not just people, but animals, earth, nature, and the elements. Animals are important to all of us, and there's so much they can teach us. Tune in to One Earth, One Heart with host Frankie Storley. Every person has a spirit, heart, and soul waiting to be reawakened and longing to seek spiritual knowledge. Our program will show you how to connect with your own soul as well as your spiritual guides. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Feeling depressed? Full of anxiety? Are you suffering from muscle aches, back pain, migraines? Do you have chronic stomach irritation, incontinence? What ailment is occupying your mind's time? At the very least, Reiki will take the edge off of your anxiety. Craniosacral will realign your bones and tissues. Visceral will balance your organs. Holistic healthcare will bring back parts of you that have been lost. Need more of a fix? Attend a holistic workshop or receive an angel card reading. It's all about you getting back to a place where you feel whole, refreshed, and energized. Visit HealingPossibilities.com today or call Tracy at 403-831-3864. It's your life. Don't you deserve the peace, tranquility, and freedom you're entitled to? Go to HealingPossibilities.com and find out more. Side effects include self-awareness. You are listening to Healing Possibilities. To connect with Tracy Makarenko or this week's guests, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll-free in North America, 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to Tracy at healingpossibilities.com. Now, back to our program.
Hi, this is Healing Possibilities with Tracy Makarenko, and today I am happy to have Hallie McQuillan with me. We have been talking about the eight limbs of yoga. And maybe you just want to do a bit of a review, Hallie, before we move on to the fourth limb?
Sure. So we've discussed the first three limbs of yoga. So a brief summary, the first one deals with interactions with others and ourselves. The second one is a code to live meaningfully. And the third one is the asana, so the actual physical practice of yoga.
And so the fourth one?
The fourth one deals with breath control. And in Sanskrit, in yoga, we call that pranayama. So the yogis out there will be likely most familiar with ujjayi breath. So it's the actual physical controlling of how we are breathing within our body. And pranayama is very, very important when we're dealing with our asanas. Tracy, you've experienced that in my classes before when you shallow breathe and you try to go into like a heart chakra opener like bridge or wheel or camel, it's very restricted. And when you tap into your pranayama or your breath control, you start to open up and experience more ease within your posture. Is that right?
Well, as this trauma has been coming out of my back, actually, I had no breath for probably about 6 months. It was almost impossible to breathe at all. So that was really interesting to me, how connected that restriction was to my heart chakra, because it was the back of my heart chakra. It was, you know, still the heart chakra, but on the back of the body.
Yeah, and that's a really great point. When I was about 10 years old, I was diagnosed with asthma. And it was really, really bad. I would end up in the hospital usually twice a year from asthma attacks. And my biggest thing that I've physically received from yoga is curing my asthma. And through heart chakra openers, asanas, and breathing with pranayama, and also really delving into self-inquiry, getting to know myself, and seeing what emotions were I was holding on to. I don't have asthma anymore.
That's very cool.
It is, yeah, absolutely. So breath is huge. And taking what we were talking about earlier, taking your pranayama off of your yoga mat, and when you find yourself in life in a stressful situation, our breath typically gets short and shallow, and we begin restricted, begin to breathe restricted. And if you take in like a sense of breath control and focus on your breath, your perception and situation start to shift. It's very amazing.
It is. We did actually a couple shows pretty much just on breath and how they can actually change your life so significantly. So
yeah,
using
absolutely.
The breath with the yoga postures can open, I found, open the chakras up even that much quicker.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yes, using pranayama, like different types of pranayama, there's many different types out there, and tagging that with your physical asana practice will fast forward your practice and take, like, you know, if not weeks, years off of your practice.
So after, and I don't even want to say it because I know I'll get it wrong, pranayama.
Uh-huh, very good.
What's the next limb?
So the fifth limb is pratyahara, and that one can be summarized by basically withdrawing from our physical senses. So withdrawing from, you know, seeing something that we want. So withdrawing from our physical senses with the intention to unattach to external objects. So that covers off a lot. So the basic way I like to look at it is the complete opposite of envy.
Oh.
So that works with your practice. Also, what you said earlier, Tracy, is, you know, you're looking around and you want to look good. And, you know, someone beside you might look a different way in a pose. And you want to get to that point. Like, you want to be busting out that amazing wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this limb, the fifth limb, deals with, is pulling away from what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're smelling, and really tapping into your internal, like what you're feeling.
So separating yourself.
Exactly.
From all
others. Non-attachment.
Well, one thing I've realized too in yoga is somebody might be really good at one thing, or I might be good at one thing, but there's other things that I'm definitely still working on. And I mean, that is life in general as well. So there is no perfection in this. It's all about coming back to self and seeing each of us for who we are and what we're capable of at that moment.
Absolutely. And I always say perfection equals acceptance. So if you're living or thinking of this is perfect, this is like this moment is perfect, this moment is perfect, and bringing in acceptance to whatever is happening in that moment, you have perfection.
That's something to think about.
Yes, and relating that to yoga, it's like, so your pose looks different than somebody else's. It's perfect. It's the exact pose that you need to be in that exact moment, and relating it back to the second limb of yoga, into the niyamas. Yeah, so what it looks different. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters how it feels in your body. So, and, you know, if someone's into the most perfectly aligned triangle pose, and you can't quite get there, you know, your legs are closer together or your arms a little more forward, that's perfect for you.
Well, when you get to that place where you can feel in your body that the pose is perfect, that really does take you to a completely different place, which I guess would be this fifth limb.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't notice anything else around you except your body and how it feels on the mat.
Yes, exactly. And which is a great lead-in for the sixth limb, which is dharana, which is focus on the experience of ultimate satisfaction.
Which definitely comes after you feel that you've made that place in your body and it feels perfect.
Yes, absolutely.
And with the implementation of all of those six limbs, brings us to the seventh limb, which is called dhyana, which is meditation. So when I teach, it's my objective for the students to have a moving meditation within their asana practice. And if you check out the previous six limbs of yoga, you can't get there until you've, I don't want to say mastered, but till you've experienced each one of those previous six limbs of yoga.
Yeah, and you can do that even just within one pose. It doesn't have to be within the entire practice. But
no, absolutely.
Finding that one pose where you can move through it and you just go into a space where it is meditative and your breath is connecting to the pose the way it's supposed to, and it just flows and it moves.
Yeah, and it just takes that one time, like that one moment in one pose, and it starts to grow. So yes, it might be like for 2 seconds in a pose, and then the next time you practice, maybe it's, you know, for two poses. And then perhaps you notice it becomes most of your practice and then all of your practice. And then that becomes your practice, becomes your moving meditation. And then if you merge it all together and take your practice off of your mat and take it into your life, and then your life becomes a meditation. Everything becomes like easeful. There's full awareness. And then you've achieved the eighth limb of yoga, which is called samadhi. And it means to merge and bring together. So like the ultimate goal, what we spoke about at the beginning of the show, was yoga to unite like mind, body, spirit, and heart. And this is where it happens in the last limb of yoga. And
well,
again, it doesn't have
again,
to be
Hallie?
Some...
Sorry.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What was that called again?
Samadhi.
Samadhi.
Mm-hmm. So that's the objective of yoga, is samadhi, to merge, to bring together.
And I don't know if everyone realizes how interconnected yoga really is to your life. Like, I've done so much healing through yoga. I practice 3 days a week, usually an hour and a half each time, and huge changes happen constantly in my life because of it. Although I've been to some practices and people don't even want to stay for Shavasana. They
mm-hmm.
can't do that laying quiet for 2 minutes, let alone maybe five sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important in life as well, to be able to sit in quiet.
Absolutely. And if you consider the eighth limb of yoga, samadhi, to merge and to bring everything together, Shavasana is one of the most important poses in yoga, in my opinion, and it's actually the most challenging pose.
Well, you know, it's most challenging for me, for sure, when I started it, because it was like, I have things to do.
Yeah, me too. I never stayed for Shavasanas. I was like, oh, totally boring. I'm out of here. I'm way too busy for this. I did that too. And now I take like 20-minute, 30-minute Shavasanas.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's where I get those insights. That's where I had my idea to move to Costa Rica. That's where I have like workshop ideas, and like after my Shavasanas, like things just pop up because
yeah.
I've cleared out and I've really allowed my yoga practice to land in my body. And it's really important because that's where you get all of your benefits of your practice. You know, there are certainly benefits within each of the single poses, but you experience a full body, mind, spirit, heart benefit in your Shavasana.
Well, I mean, my show has been talking about going through the chakras. So, I mean, every pose is connected to some chakra, and Shavasana is very much connected, I think, to the crown chakra of just being.
Absolutely.
And I just like you, I can't tell you how many times I've come up with different ideas for my business, just laying there. Well, and I haven't come up with the ideas. The ideas have been gifted to me while I'm laying in a quiet state.
Absolutely.
I'd like to say.
Yes. So for you yogis out there that don't go to your Shavasanas, bad yogis. You definitely want to do your Shavasanas. Absolutely. Out of any single pose in your yoga practice, do your Shavasanas. Definitely.
That's the one you should practice the most.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yes.
Well, and I find I've become addicted to it. I just like that peace and quiet of doing nothing.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, and we're so, you know, especially this day and age, there's so many monkey minds out there, right? Like the focus is on do as much as you can.
You know, there's not enough time in the day and everyone's rushing around. And to take that time out, it's like, it's so important for, yeah, our physical bodies, but our minds, like our brains, our breath, you know, our heart, it's so important for us to take that time, yeah, like you said, to simply be.
Mm-hmm. Well, the brain has to stop and have a break as well. And
yes.
People always forget about that. They're happy to sit in a chair and let their body have a break, but typically their mind's still working, watching television or reading a book or chatting with someone. But those moments when the brain can just actually do nothing for a few minutes, it's rejuvenating.
Yes, yeah, definitely rejuvenating. And that's the whole, my focus is to, when I teach an asana class, is, you know, to evolve in some way. And usually that comes with like a rejuvenation, a revitalization, something along those lines. So yes, the eight limbs of yoga, definitely important. And it's usually quite astonishing to people to realize or be informed that the asana, the physical poses, are only 1/8 out of all of the philosophies of yoga.
Yeah, I know. That was surprising to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anywhere that people can find this information?
There's a lot of books on the Yoga Sutras. That's where the eight limbs are contained. A lot of information online. We do workshops on the eight limbs of yoga as well.
Okay.
And have recently developed an online course or a series of online courses that are going to be launched within a couple of weeks, and one of which is the Yoga Sutras and focuses on the eight limbs of yoga.
Oh, good. Okay, well, we'll talk more about that as soon as we come back after break. Thanks,
great.
Sally.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Feeling depressed? Full of anxiety? Are you suffering from muscle aches, back pain, migraines? Do you have chronic stomach irritation, incontinence? What ailment is occupying your mind's time? At the very least, Reiki will take the edge off of your anxiety. Craniosacral will realign your bones and tissues. Visceral will balance your organs. Holistic healthcare will bring back parts of you that have been lost. Need more of a fix? Attend a holistic workshop or receive an angel card reading. It's all about you getting back to a place where you feel whole, refreshed, and energized. Visit HealingPossibilities.com today or call Tracy at 403-831-3864. It's your life. Don't you deserve the peace, tranquility, and freedom you're entitled to? Go to HealingPossibilities.com and find out more. Side effects include self-awareness. Have you discovered and awakened the natural power of your sexual energy? Imagine a world in which every woman's role is to birth the God in every man. Join host Mookie Okon for Sex and the Divine Design. Orgasm is a gift for your health and well-being. What if everyone could be free to experience and express the pleasure and power of being alive? Come and enhance your relationships, your well-being, and your sex life. Sex and the Divine Design is heard live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are listening to Healing Possibilities. To connect with Tracy Makarenko or this week's guests, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll-free in North America, 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to Tracy at HealingPossibilities.com. Now, back to our program.
Hi, this is Tracy Makarenko, and today I have Hallie McQuillan joining me. Talking about yoga and the different limbs of yoga that are involved to get to that place where you feel well, where you integrate yoga into your life and everything feels like it is finally clicking into place, more or less. So, Hallie, you just said you're going to be launching an online workshop?
Yes, an online course.
Online course.
For the eight limbs of yoga.
For the eight limbs of yoga. And that'll be at www.hallieandkevin.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'd like to talk a bit more maybe about the heart chakra and how yoga is involved in opening that chakra.
Absolutely. So relating heart chakra opening to the physical postures of yoga, I have a heart chakra opening sequence that would take you about 20 minutes to half an hour to go through. And it starts off with a grounded cross-legged position or a kneeling position, whatever is most comfortable in your body to do, and taking 10 deep breaths in and out through your nose. And the purpose of this pose is to get you grounded and centered into your body, leaving the day behind. And when you do this asana, focus on the beat of your physical heart, and this will keep you in your body and out of your thought world.
So it's almost like
once
having,
you do that for 10 breaths, did you have a question?
Oh, sorry. It's like having something to concentrate on. You're feeling the beating of your heart.
Absolutely, yes. And from there, run through a series of five sun salutation A's. So for you yogis out there, if you don't know what sun salutation A's are, Google it and you'll find description of each pose within it. It's a series of about eight poses strung together with your breath. And the purpose of sun salutation A's is to warm up every single muscle in your body. So it's a great warm-up. And then after your warm-up, your grounding, you have your grounding sequence, your breathing and awareness to your beat of your physical heart, and then your warm-up with your sun salutation A's, then we get into the actual heart opening asanas. So from your last down dog of your sun salutation A, you can hop through to seated, lie down on your back, and take a bridge pose. And you want to hold these poses for at least, from 5 to 10 breaths. 5 to 10 deep breaths in and out through your nose. From bridge, roll back down onto your back, over to your right side and back up to seated and take camel pose. So camel's a huge chest opener and heart chakra opener, and that's the pose I practice the most often when my intention for my practice was to heal my asthma. And camel was huge in doing that. So from camel pose, do 2 sets of camel pose, and again holding for 5 to 10 breaths in each one. In between your 2 camel poses, come down to your knees and sit in easy pose. And this is your opportunity to really feel what is coming up from your camel pose. And to touch on that, Tracy, any feelings that come up from your heart opening poses are perfect. Sometimes people experience like sadness, tears come up, that's awesome. Some people experience anger, perfect. Some people experience laughter and humor. And it's all good. So when you're in your yoga practice, no matter what pose you're in, feel whatever it is that's coming up. And whatever it is that's coming up is perfect. There's no labels to good or bad or anything like that.
So what would you tell people who tend to not want to share some of what's going on within their body in their class? They just tend to stay very quiet.
Well, I typically urge people to share everything that's going on in their practice. And how I get people to do that is I share my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within my practice, you know, if I had like anger or a breakdown, you know, I turned to a puddle on the floor after a camel pose, I'll share that story. And I also add on how similar we all are, you know, and how in my past experience, I thought I was so different with like my stories and my troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what held me back from sharing. And I find, as a yoga teacher and a counselor, that is what holds people back from sharing, is that they think they're weird or different. And when I share my experiences of how, you know, I thought I was weird and different and that held me back, and the difference of when I actually started sharing and the connections I made with people through sharing, and the realization that we're not different, we're very much all the same.
Yes, we are.
You know, it that gently urges people to start opening up and sharing. And, you know, it if anything, creates a crack of opportunity for them to share. They may not outright share right then and there, but it creates that curiosity for them to do so. You know, and they come back to the next class, and then they go, oh, maybe I will try this back then.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
and shed a tear, and then the next day it's like, or the next week they come back and like four tears fall, and then they're on their way to breaking open.
Yeah.
You know, because as you know, our heart chakra, that's where we hold a lot of that, you know, those feelings of like hurt and, you know, even shame or anything like that. And it's when it starts to come out, it's so freeing. And speaking from a personal experience, I felt nothing but like freedom, possibility, and like completely lit up. And that's, you know, the purpose of these backbends and chest opening poses is to like light you up and like create that fire within you to, you know, go out and experience all the possibilities that you have.
Well, what I like about Camel Now, because I actually do like Camel Now,
perfect,
is it's not only opening the heart, but it also moves through the chakras to help open that throat chakra, because you're bent over opening up that space.
Yes, and you'll notice that with your intention to open up your heart chakra, all of these asanas will residually affect your throat chakra. Right, our spine's connected. So when mm-hmm. we start to open up our heart, the bonus is our throat starts to open. And then your truth shines out. It's amazing.
Yeah, everything starts moving upwards.
Mm-hmm.
So is there one more asana that we could add to this? Or
Yes, so after your camel, you come back down onto your back. And if wheel's available to you, you do full wheel. And then you complete the series by doing fish pose and reverse tabletop with no tension in your neck. And this is what will also get into your throat chakra. And then you complete it with, what's your favorite pose, Tracy?
Shavasana?
Yes. With a nice long 10-minute Shavasana, at least.
10 minutes, yay, I've been given permission. No, I can't say how much yoga has helped me. I've been doing it for about 13 years, and I look back at when I first started doing it, and I think I was different flexible than I am now, for sure. There's some things that aren't as flexible and other things that are more flexible. Thank you so much for coming on today, Hallie.
Thanks for having me, Tracy.
So again, you have two websites. Your retreat center is
www.peaceretreat.ca
and www.hallieandkevin.com.
Yes.
So good luck on the rest of your tour
and
your journey home. Next week, I will be talking about the throat chakra. Of course, this is moving upwards into that spiritual journey where you can start communicating with your inner self and with the Creator. So tune in next week to learn more about how to get that to that place to hear your soul speak. This is the last week to sign up for my Learn the Basics workshop, running on September 15th and 16th. It incorporates all the information I've been sharing with you during my shows. The difference is you will learn how to use the pendulum to help find out what issues and tools are most relevant to you in your healing. And to find out more about me and my workshops, you can go to www.healingpossibilities.com. You can find links there to join my monthly newsletter, which I will be sending out later today. You can also connect with me on Facebook. Look for me under Healing Possibilities with Tracy Makarenko or on Twitter at Tracy Makarenko. And as of last Friday, I posted a new angel card reading on YouTube for the month of September. So you can find me there as well. Just look for Tracy Makarenko or Healing Possibilities on YouTube for that monthly reading. For now, I want to thank you for joining me and for joining Hallie today. Remember, knowledge is healing, and that process continues with you daily. sending you love and light, and may your journey be full of grace and ease.
Thank you again for listening this week. Please be sure to join Tracy Makarenko for Healing Possibilities every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Have a balanced week, and we'll talk again on the next show.